Post-its of a Life Well Loved. A Warehouse 13, Micah Baring / Helena H.G. Wells story. Written by M.J. Duncan. Read by Jelazah Kazone. Summary. Whenever Claudia needs to feel better about things, she pulls out Helena and Micah's old journal. The book was really nothing more than an extremely large, leather-bound journal that in and of itself was wholly unremarkable. Its spine lacked the gilded titles of H.G.'s other novels, all of which were lovingly archived in the chronological order of their publication on her crowded bookshelves, but it held more of the brilliant woman's heart and passion than all of those other works combined. When opened, one would expect to find lines of thoughts, musings, and ruminations, but instead the reader would be greeted by a lone yellow square of paper, lovingly set in the exact middle of what would be the title page in a traditional novel. Keep it. You can owe me. Claudia smiled at the cheeky, flirtatious message scribbled in the artificer's distinctive scrawl, and nodded sadly to herself as she pictured her now deceased friends smiling and laughing together as one or the other would respond to whatever had just happened with that same playful rejoinder. You can owe me. In calendar years, Claudia had now passed the 2-century mark, though she looked even younger than the 32 years she'd been when she'd taken over the position of caretaker for the warehouse, and she was acutely, painfully alone. Though she had considered her family, Artie, Pete, Lena, Steve, Helena, and Micah were gone, dead and buried, and all she had left of them were her memories. When she needed to feel comforted, she would make a cup of tea, like Lena used to do for her, sit down with a plate of cookies, like Artie used to make, and watch old cheesy horror movies, like she used to do with Pete and Jinx. And most of the time, those simple reminders of a past happiness were enough to get her through whatever melancholy it was she was feeling. The tea would warm her heart, the cookies would fill her belly, and the movie would occupy her mind just long enough for her to fall asleep so that when she woke up the next morning, she would forget about whatever it was that had gotten her so down. Most of the time, that approach was enough to get her through the week, month, year. She honestly didn't even know how many times over the last decade she'd utilized it. But there were other times. Times where making that impossible decision as to what needed to be done was just so goddamn hard that she needed something more than the comfort she took from her old routines. She needed to know that all of it, the decisions, the hurt, the death, the destruction, that all of it was worth it. And it was at those times that she pulled the leather journal off her bookshelf, wrapped herself in a hand-knitted shawl H.G. had given her for her 25th birthday, and cuddled into her favorite chair in front of the fire. She would smooth her hands over the faded cover and watch the way the firelight flickered across the aged surface of the book, and then she would open it, slowly, tenderly, like it was the greatest treasure in the world. The first time she'd read through the book, she'd been embarrassed by what she'd read, and had felt like a pervert for perusing her friend's most intimate thoughts and desires. But time and loneliness, for she never let herself get as emotionally close to anyone that she did with her original warehouse family, ate at those feelings of embarrassment until they were barely noticeable, and she was able to appreciate the messages inside as a reminder of the brilliant, beautiful women who had impacted her life so profoundly. Suspected artifact in Maine. Going with Pete to retrieve it. Will be home soon. Love you. XOXOM. There were a number of ordinary notes like that littered amongst the pages of the journal. Simple, hastily scrawled messages of what was happening that always included an I love you of some kind. These made her smile, and she could easily picture Micah, or Helena, ignoring whomever it was that was urging them to hurry up and get going, so that she could leave one last note for the other before running out the door. More often than not, it was Pete who had been frustrated at waiting for Micah to finish writing, though Claudia always suspected that his protestations were more for show than anything else, because he was happiest when Micah was happy. And Micah was happiest when she was with Helena, even if she found the artificer to be absolutely distracting at times. Your nipples showing through your shirt are hell on my concentration today. Think you could put on a sweater? XOXOM. The first time Claudia had read that particular note, which was scribbled on a blue post-it that strangely enough seemed to exactly match the color of a shirt Helena used to love to wear, She choked on the drink of water she'd been swallowing. And then she laughed, long and loud and hard until tears were rolling down her cheeks, because she could just picture the cheeky smirk Helena would have given Micah before not only refusing to cover up, but more than likely also going so far as to pop another button to taunt her with that which she wanted but could not have. Couldn't have right then, anyways. She didn't doubt that once they were alone, all bets were off. Your partner, and I use that term loosely as you are mine, is teasing me for walking stiffly this morning. I would be mortally embarrassed about it, except every ache reminds me of the way you felt moving inside me, and all I can do is smile. I love you. H. Well, if you didn't look so beautiful as you came, I might have been able to restrain myself better. Just ignore him. Or bring up the Akihiro Miwa artifact. That'll shut him up. XOXOM. Claudia sniggered as she remembered Pete's run-in with the famous drag queen's hat that had made him think he was a female impersonator and dance around in a sequined skirt and go-go boots while singing show tunes. Now that had been an epic mission that to this day she was still sorry that she'd missed out on. She'd been stuck at the warehouse for it because Artie had been having a conniption about something to do with security programming, but Micah had used the record feature that she'd installed on the durational spectrometer to show her Pete's performance in all its embarrassing glory. That video had played on a loop on the warehouse monitors for weeks before it had been mysteriously deleted from her computer's hard drive. She still suspected that Artie had been responsible for the disappearance of that file, and even now she was mildly annoyed with him over it. 5 years ago, you pointed a gun at me, and my life has never been the same since. Happy anniversary, darling. I love you more than words can ever properly express. H. Panty dropper, Claudia murmured affectionately. Helena was certainly the more romantic of the pair, leaving sweet little notes for Micah to find. But it made sense that with everything she'd been through, that she would be more vocal about her affections. And Micah was just vocal. She chuckled as she remembered the sound-suppressing bubble she'd created for the couple's bedroom at the bed and breakfast, so that the rest of them wouldn't be subjected to the seemingly never-ending sounds of their pleasure. Pleasure that was found in many forms, as evidenced by the day Micah announced she was pregnant with hers and Helena's first child. Helena had glowed at the announcement. Pete had grinned. She remembered doing a little jig and squealing loudly as she clapped her hands excitedly. Lena had just grinned and nodded knowingly, and Artie had beamed like a proud papa as he congratulated the two women. That first pregnancy was a smooth one, all things considered, though judging by the notes in the journal, Helena did have a bit more to deal with than the rest of them. Not that Claudia expected Helena had complained about any of it. Tell me again why I thought you wearing that Mayan fertility artifact was a good idea. My ankles are swollen, my back hurts, and I really want fried pickles for some reason. Being pregnant sucks. M. But you are beautiful, darling, and knowing that you are carrying our child makes me love you even more than I thought was humanly possible. H. P.S. I'll stop for the pickles on my way home. Forget the pickles, I just want you, preferably naked, but as long as you're touching me, I won't be too picky. If I don't orgasm soon, I might die. M. You were a horny little bastard when you were preggo, Mikes, Claudia murmured, her lips quirking up in a smile as she remembered all the places she'd inadvertently run across Helena, satisfying that particular craving of Micah's. It had eventually gotten to the point that the only people assigned to do inventory were Micah and Helena, because at least then nobody else would be subjected to the visual of Helena on her knees with her head buried between Micah's legs. Once was more than enough, thank you very much. Of course, since Micah and Helena had three children together, nobody was fortunate enough to only witness that particular situation once. Pete had had the dubious honor of having walked in on them a grand total of 22 times over the course of all three pregnancies, and he never once let either of them live it down. They had been, thankfully, much better at controlling themselves when Micah wasn't pregnant, and the rest of the warehouse team was frequently enlisted to help watch the children so they could enjoy a night out or, on special occasions, a weekend away. Lena agreed to watch the kids for the weekend so we can celebrate our 10-year anniversary in style. Do you have any requests? H. You. Me. No clothes. On a bed. A table. a rug in front of a fire, a wall, a shower. Oh, darling, I do love how you think. All of that can be easily arranged, I'm sure. Good, because I just talked to Lena, and she's cool with watching the kids for a few extra days. Artie is taking us off rotation for the rest of the week, and Claude's working on getting us plane tickets now. The weekend is starting early. The majority of the notes were along these lines, brief snippets of conversation exchanged via a handwritten note when a text message would have sufficed. But it was fitting for them, and it was comforting for Claudia to see that even as the years passed and the general subject matter of the notes began to include reminders of dentist appointments for the children, soccer practices, and parent-teacher conferences, that the passion between the two faded lovers continued to burn brightly. I close my eyes, and I swear I can still taste your skin against my tongue. I will never tire of making love to you. Smooth talker, you're still in trouble for that hickey you left on my neck, though. Pete's been teasing me about it all morning. Akihiro Miwa? Yeah, he's not embarrassed by that anymore. Oh, that's rather unfortunate. You're lucky I love you. Of that, you will never have to try and convince me. I know exactly how lucky I am to have your love. And just like that, you're out of the doghouse. Well played, Wells, well played. I'll make it up to you later, darling, I promise. As long as making it up to me includes you being tied to the bed as I have my way with you over and over again until you're begging for release, consider it a deal. Heading to the car now. Claudia laughed and shook her head, easily picturing the giddy smile that Helena always got whenever Micah whispered something suggestive in her ear. She flipped through pages and pages of meticulously archived notes, her fingers skimming over the loose edges of the post-its as she read them. The messages were mildly repetitive. Even the more explicit ones tended to include the same basic elements, but there was such love evident in each that she found the weight of despair that had settled on her heart begin to ease. This is why she did the job she did. There were millions of connections just like Micah's and Helena's out there in the world that needed protection, and she felt obligated to try and safeguard each one. She flipped to the last page of the journal, the large sheet holding only 3 notes, where most of the previous ones held anywhere from 6 to 12. Her heart clenched as she looked at those 2 blue post-its and the lone yellow square beside them, and, as they always did whenever she reached this part of the book, her eyes filled with tears. The blue ones were written in Micah's precise hand, and Claudia knew they were the ones that Helena had found after Micah had passed away after an arduous battle with breast cancer. You have a beautiful heart, Helena, and I wanted to thank you for sharing it with me these last 58 years. Loving you has made my life worth living, and I don't regret one moment that we spent together. I love you, God, do I love you, and I wish we had more time, though even forever would feel too short. I'll be waiting here for you in heaven. My love, for there is no one else I'd wish to spend an eternity with than you. Claudia swallowed thickly and read on, the tears that had been building in her eyes spilling over her cheeks as she read Helena's simple reply. Keep my heart, darling. You can owe me. She cleared her throat and shook her head as she closed the journal and held it on her lap as she stared at the dancing flames in the fireplace. Thank you for everything you have ever taught me, she whispered, her voice cracking as her eyes continued to water, as she imagined Helena's rich, melodious voice answering. Our pleasure, darling. You can owe us.